You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. Coming up today at 6 on 1A+. After day one, what do we know about the new president's priorities? We'll find out and get your reactions to Joe Biden's inaugural address. That's today at 6 on 1A+. Now, after Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey made the call to suspend President Trump's account. Other social media companies followed suit. As more details of the event have come out, it appears that some of the people involved had planned and coordinated their actions on social media accounts. Thousands of accounts that urged violence or spread QAnon conspiracy theories have since been removed from Twitter and other platforms. This is just the latest social media incident that's got attention from Congress. Members of both parties have raised concerns about the power of the biggest social media platforms, and there have been hearings raising issues about misinformation, disinformation, and claims of partisan bias. This could all lead to changes in the way those companies are regulated. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the power of the big social media platforms? Should the federal government step in and change the rules about how they're regulated? What do you think about the idea of treating them like public utilities? And what's your reaction to the type of speech that platforms themselves allow online? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Elizabeth Dwoskin is the Silicon Valley correspondent for The Washington Post. She's been covering social media companies and how they might be regulated under the Biden administration. Elizabeth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, take us back to, first of all, before January 6th. What kind of talk was there in Washington when it comes to, hey, maybe we need to change regulations on these big social media platforms?
I think that there was already a lot of momentum underway just by Biden winning. There was going to be a lot of momentum underway to make changes with social media. You have, you know, during the Obama administration, you have California passing, during the Trump administration, you have California passing and enacting a landmark privacy act that is parallel to this privacy act that was passed in Europe. And there's been talk about, should we have some national privacy rules? I mean, you saw that during the Trump administration, you saw the Cambridge Analytica privacy scandal with Facebook, where the data of tens of millions of users was compromised. So I think that there was expected to be action on privacy. There's this bigger question, and this is even before the Capitol riots, you have the Democrats really, really wanting, and Joe Biden himself talked about it, the tech companies to take stronger responsibility for the kind of content that shows up on their platform, not just violence, but also hate speech. You heard a lot from the left about wanting the tech companies to make more interventions in the name of truth and preventing misinformation. If you heard Biden's inaugural speech yesterday, he talked about that as this being a time when truth itself is being questioned. And I know he's very angry at the social media platforms for that. But we also have, and Republicans were attacking the social media platforms for false allegations of political bias in many cases. So we just have this stew of we also have Russia hacking the country, issuing conducting a major hack, one of the biggest hacks in history. Late last year, all this before the Capitol riots. So you have this stew of issues. And the way that I think about it is it's a new administration in Washington, but it's getting there's more and more pressure for big tech, more and more pressure on big tech. And that was before the Capitol riots.
Now, we've heard from various players in politics arguments that we need to change this Section 230 that it has to do with how social media platforms are regulated and how they're protected in some ways from responsibility for things that people post on them. We hear the phrase a lot. Can you give us the nutshell version of what Section 230 is and does?
Nutshell version is it's a 20-plus-year-old law that shields tech companies and internet companies from responsibility or legal liability from the stuff that gets posted on their services. So if you post something illegal on a tech service, the platform itself, the Facebook, the eBay, the Yelp, isn't responsible for that content, with the exception of some things like copyright and child porn, for example.
What kind of changes have people been calling for? And it might be different whether it's President Trump or the new President Biden.
Well, as I alluded to before, you know, a lot of people have said, wow, Section 230 was created in a law that was 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago at this point, when the internet was very nascent and the companies needed protection because they were going to go out of business if they were going to be subject to lawsuits right and left about content. And so they got this kind of blanket immunity. But fast forward, here we are 20 plus years later, the tech companies and big tech are literally the most powerful companies in the world, the wealthiest and most powerful companies in the world. They have enormous resources. And people are saying, and they're responsible for free expression today. And what's been happening over the last few years is, as you know, these companies have, we saw the rise of, it wasn't just the capital riots that were organized on tech platforms, the neo-Nazi march in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017, in the first year of Trump's presidency, was also organized on Facebook and social media platforms. And there were conversations then to say, well, how should these companies bear more responsibility for facilitating this type of hate? And then you get into questions like advertising tools on these tech companies. Now, we have civil rights laws, which say, for example, that I cannot just offer a white person a credit card ad, but not offer a Black person a credit card ad. But you have services on Facebook where you can have credit card ads and you can tailor demographically who you want to target those ads to. So a lot of even civil rights leaders have brought lawsuits against Facebook in the last few years, saying that those targeting tools really violate the spirit of civil rights laws because you can exclude people. Like, I'm not allowed to put out a job ad that says people over 60 can't apply. But on Facebook, until some of these lawsuits, you could put out a job ad and then literally tailor what age groups you wanted those job ad to reach. So some lawyers have said that's a form of discrimination. So these are all like major questions about where should the law be in all this? And so far the law has been completely absent because the law literally says the tech companies aren't responsible for any of this. So there seems to be widespread agreement among both parties. It's one of the few things that both parties agree upon, which is that this does need to change. This regime needs to be overhauled. Even the lawmaker who created 230 said it needs to be changed. Biden said he was in favor of completely getting rid of the law. He said that on the campaign trail. But then the question becomes, what do we replace it with? And there's no widespread agreement. Like, try to get 1,000 Americans to agree on a definition of hate speech. It's pretty hard. But, you know, there are other things that might be a little bit less hard. For example, violence. You know, outright calls to violence or even subtle calls to violence. Now, some of that's illegal, you know, which is why you have law enforcement scouring the social media platforms. It's why platforms like Parler, where the Capitol riots were organized, are becoming like a crime scene right now. So certain things are just patently illegal when it's direct calls for violence. But what if you went a few shades under? Hateful calls, veiled calls for violence, should those be regulated as well? And should the government hold these giant social media companies responsible so that they have to remove this content with a certain period of time? They have to report it. These are all major questions that the Biden administration is likely to take on.
Talking to Elizabeth Dwoskin from The Washington Post, looking at the big social media companies and possibilities of changes, possibly big changes in the way they're regulated coming through Congress and the Biden administration. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Mike joins us now in Madison. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon. My opinion is that social media corporations should be treated the same as every other corporation. If I were to walk into a corporation owned by Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Joe Biden, or Donald Trump and wore a shirt that said, kill the owner of this company, I would more than likely be told I couldn't wear that shirt and more than likely fired. So I think Facebook doing the same thing, saying you can't have that bad stuff on there, should be the equivalent of regular corporate America.
Mike, thanks for the call. And Elizabeth, this has been an issue for the companies themselves, regardless of what the government says. What are you seeing from the big platforms about how and whether they're trying to clear up hate speech, borderline hate speech, calls for violence, veiled calls for violence on their own platforms?
Well, you know, what I'll say to Mike there is that you aren't actually, even on social platform, allowed to say, I'm going to kill you right now. You're not allowed to actually say that's actually would be, you know, implicating yourself in a crime, and you're technically not allowed to do that. And that's why, as I said, some of these services are becoming crime scenes now in the wake of the Capitol riot. But there's millions of gradations. There's so much gray area about what you can say, and the platforms have had such wide latitude towards it. One of the scoops that I had last year was a story about how quietly Facebook has been really trying to like overhaul the way that they view hate speech. And what they've been trying to do is sort of say, well, can we look at certain types of attacks against certain types of peoples, groups that we know are really affiliated with hate speech, and take that stuff down really quickly. It's called the WOW project. It's an internal project going on at Facebook. WOW stands for the worst of the worst. And what they found is that statements, for example, against people of, and this was just from internal surveys they did like surveys with 16,000 people, where they found like people of mixed race, LGBTQ people, Muslims and Jews, they found in the surveys that those people are oftentimes the most subject to hateful attacks. And so they wanted to put high priority on language against when hateful language was directed at certain types of people. They want to take action on it more quickly. And they're debating that right now. But I think like just fundamentally, like we've seen over and over and over again, like look at what happened in your own state of Wisconsin and in Kenosha. There were groups that were planning violence, and we're discussing things, you know, that were planning violence during the protest this summer. And Facebook didn't act, despite the fact that I think it was 350 different people reported these pages as problematic to Facebook. And they didn't even take action on their own reports. And, you know, that part of that led to the violence that took place. And so, you know, you look at that and you say, wow, if they're absolutely incapable right now, these are the richest companies in the world, what is going on that they're not capable then of even enforcing the rules that they say they have? And then you say, well, should the government step in? Should you create something like, you know, as Mike pointed out, you know, banking, there are other industries, healthcare, banking, those are much more regulated industries than tech. Should you create something like a CFPB? Remember, Elizabeth Warren ran for president. She created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that came after the financial crisis. And it was this extra, a new government agency that was essentially in standing for consumers' rights in the financial sphere. Well, should there be the Consumer Protection Agency for technology, something that does content moderation and regulation of the tech? I think that that's being discussed as well. And meanwhile, you have all these companies now that in the Trump years, you know, staffed up on Republicans and tried to create liaisons to the Trump administration, just politicking in Washington, lobbying. I think in the last 9 months of the year, big tech spent $59 million on lobbying. Or in the first 9 months of last year. And so I think what we're also seeing in this new era is we're seeing Biden appoint people who, just from reading the tea leaves already of the people he's appointed, those people are big critics of big tech. They're critics of Facebook. They're critics of Google. They think the government should do more. And those are the kind of people he's appointing. And I think that the companies themselves are like scrambling to hire Democrats because they hired a lot of Republicans during the Trump years. And
we're talking to Elizabeth Dwoskin, Silicon Valley correspondent at the Washington Post, looking at possible upcoming changes in regulations for social media companies. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see changes in regulations for the Facebooks and Twitters and Instagrams of the world? Do you have questions about how all this works? Call 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about how the Biden administration and Congress will approach technology companies, especially social media platforms. Elizabeth Dwoskin is with us. She covers the Silicon Valley for The Washington Post. You can join in at 800-642-1234. I want to get to another issue, political disinformation and misinformation. I want to go back to a congressional hearing from 2019. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg talking here, being questioned by New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez about lies and political ads.
So you won't take down lies or you will take down lies? I think it's just a pretty simple yes or no.
Congresswoman,
I'm not talking about spin. I'm talking about actual disinformation.
Yes, in most cases, in a democracy, okay. I believe that people should be able to see for themselves what politicians that they may or may not vote for
so
are
you
saying.
So you won't take them down.
Judge their character for themselves.
So you won't take, you may flag that it's wrong, but you won't take it down.
And that brings us, Liza, to another big question. You mentioned Russian information and disinformation, candidates and potential political lies on forums. What's the conversation about that now and whether the platforms are responsible for policing that sort of thing?
Well, I think it's a really complicated issue. Facebook has really come out of the gate and said, like you heard with Zuckerberg talking to Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, they don't believe that they should be the fact checkers. They have some fact checkers, but they've outsourced that to third parties. But I'll just take a step back and say, you know, when during an election, when you see all those political ads on TV, nobody says to the TV station that the TV station should be fact checking those ads. So there is, so one of the things that Facebook will push back and say, well, is there a different standard for us than there even has been for all political ads? But in terms of the misinformation and misleading information is one of the hardest problems, because when it's outright calls to violence, when it's threats, when it's white supremacy, it's going to be easier for the companies to get on board with law enforcement. They're going to take their cues from law enforcement, essentially, and they're going to do effectively what law enforcement tells them. But on issues of misinformation, you know, one of the greatest quotes I always heard was from an executive at Twitter who, like, this was like 10 years ago when they were starting Twitter. And he said, "We want Twitter to be the free speech wing of the free speech party." So if you take it in for a moment, they wanted Twitter, and you could say the same about Facebook, they wanted to be the biggest tent possible for every single voice. And both Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, have long maintained that the best way to give everyone a voice is.
I think we lost our guest there. Liza, can you hear me? I think she dropped out there. Well, let's bring on a caller or two on these issues and hear what you think. We've got John on the line in Madison. John, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. The thing that I just wanted to bring up is it seems to me absolutely ridiculous that Mark Zuckerberg and Jack from Twitter say that everybody needs a voice and free speech, because I think it may be mentioned this earlier in the show. I just joined it recently, but that, you know, Aaron Sorkin said everyone deserves a voice, but not everyone deserves a microphone. And to say that free speech means that you could be on a platform where millions of people can hear you is just irresponsible. And there should be regulations, just as the FCC regulates what you do on the airwaves or what television does on the airwaves. Someone wants to stand on a street corner and hand out pamphlets that talks about crazy conspiracy theories, that's fine. But to give them the avenue to do that to millions of people is dangerous. And it's absolutely insane that there is not regulation. That is not quelling free speech. That is just being responsible.
And John, you're looking for government regulation, or are you hoping that the platforms can police this on their own?
No, I think there are government. Doesn't the FCC every year, don't radio stations have to reapply for their license every few years to make sure that they're serving the public? So it doesn't have to be the fear that government is quelling free speech, just as they don't with the media. I don't think they do. Does the government regulates the media? You can't start swearing on your radio program.
That is accurate. I'm very careful not to do that. John, thanks a lot for that call. I think we have Liza back. Liza, our caller, John, saying, hey, there are FCC guidelines that regulate broadcasts and at least some things that can be said on the airwaves. John, hoping to see something similar, maybe even a little further for Twitter and Facebook.
Well, he's absolutely right that there are regulations, but they're not required to do fact checking. Now, I'm saying, so, you know, I'll tell you that's Facebook's position. But I think, you know, this question of what kind of license, if you step back and say, what kind of role should political figures play on these platforms? These platforms, Facebook, I'll say Facebook and Twitter especially, were desperate to have political leaders on their platforms. They loved the attention that got. Twitter's slogan is literally something like where news happens, be the place where the conversation happens. Their value, Twitter is a small company. They can punch above their weight with their influence because of all the newsmakers on their platform. And the top person of that was Donald Trump. We never had a president before. You know, Obama, he was on Twitter, but he effectively used the power of the presidency. He didn't try to extend the power of the presidency beyond just being the president, whereas Trump created a parallel megaphone on Twitter. I always remind everyone when he started his campaign, he had 3 million Twitter followers. On the day that Twitter removed him, banned him permanently, he had 88 million followers. So he used the presidency to hugely build and amplify his megaphone. And the philosophy of the leaders of these companies was, we want to be the place where news happens. And so we are not even going to apply our hate speech and other rules to political figures. We're going to treat them with kid gloves because everything that they say is newsworthy. And so there's been many times over the years where people called out Facebook and Twitter and said, look at things that Trump said. Those things actually violate your rules. And if the companies had taken action on their rules, they would have shut Trump's voice off a long time ago. But they didn't want to censor the leader of the free world. And I think that the biggest question that these companies are going to have to face going forward is, what type of relationship do they want to have with these powerful figures that have the potential to, yes, make news, but also cause enormous harm in society with what they say? Do they want to apply the same rules? Do they want to apply a lower threshold for the rules? Do they want to apply a higher one because of the harms that they can cause? Or will the government just go and do it for them? I think I just saw the other day that Poland is passing a law in response to Twitter banning Trump. Poland is going to pass a law which says that social media platforms can't actually ban these political leaders. They can only take actions that will be illegal in the country. The law in Poland will say social media platforms can't go beyond what's actually just the laws on the books.
And we'll have to leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Elizabeth Dwoskin, Silicon Valley correspondent at The Washington Post, looking at social media companies and possible regulations coming from the Biden administration and Congress.